We are super excited because today's episode is sponsored by BarkBox.
As most of you guys know, my dog Mackie loves his chew toys, but they do not last very long in our house. And that's why we love our subscription service, BarkBox.
BarkBox is a monthly subscription box that offers an array of themed boxes for your pup. Inside your box, you'll find toys, treats, and unleash joy, thoughtfully designed to satisfy every dog's unique playstyle.
BarkBox has several boxes to choose from, depending on your dog's needs, such as the Super Chewer box, which was designed to challenge and engage your pup for longer-lasting play. And that's what we need for Mackie.
Right now, you can get a free extra month of BarkBox, which is up to a $35 value, by using our link www.barkbox.com/inhumanpod.
So treat your dog to what they love with BarkBox. www.barkbox.com/inhumanpod for a extra free month of BarkBox.
Hey, what's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Sorry. I was trying to click out of the screen, the recording screen, and I clicked the video off button. Do we have any? I mean, I know we have some sad updates, I guess. We could talk about if you want.
Yeah, I was thinking we should just share a couple of things. First of all, Brendan Santos' body was found in the Red Cedar River. If you haven't followed his story, he went missing on, I think it was like the day before Halloween or Halloween, right around there, from Michigan State University. And he was visiting friends and he basically disappeared. They've been searching the river that was near where he was last seen. They've been searching it for months, but haven't found anything. And yesterday, which was Friday the 21st, they announced that they had found his body. And I don't believe they suspect foul play or anything at this time. And, you know, it's good that his family can have closure and lay him to rest, but it's just so heartbreaking.
Yeah, the circumstances are not ideal at all for them. Like, our thoughts go out to their family, to his family, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people, I think, were trying to hold out hope, but his family has, like, in the posts that they've shared since the news was announced, you know, they've said that they're just thankful for closure. So I am thankful that they have that closure, and I hope that they can heal.
Yeah.
And then on another, I don't know, I guess sad note, I think a lot of us expected this, but Gabby Petito's case has officially been closed by the FBI. The FBI was still investigating it, and after Brian Laundrie's remains were found, they also found a notebook with him, and they were still investigating. Earlier, like last week, I want to say Wednesday or Thursday, Gabby's family met with the FBI in Tampa, and then on Friday the 21st, the FBI put out a statement that the case has officially been closed and that they have determined that Brian Laundrie is the only person that had any involvement in her death. I do want to share one quote that the FBI said, and let me pull it up, but it just makes me so, like, my blood was boiling when I read this.
Yeah.
So they said, after Ms. Petito's death, there were several text messages identified between Mr. Laundrie's telephone and Ms. Petito's telephone. The timing and content of these messages are indicative of Mr. Laundrie attempting to deceive law enforcement by giving the impression that Ms. Petito was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Which just, I just want to, like, oh, that makes me so angry, because that's...
But he was thinking that he was going to get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No remorse.
Like, even if it wasn't premeditated,
no remorse.
He was trying to get away with it. And then they also said that in the notebook, he confessed basically to killing Gabby. They have not, and I don't believe they will, release exactly what the notebook said, which honestly, I mean, I'd love to see what it said, but also for the sake of her family, you know, they might have told her family, but there's no need for that really to be out there.
Right.
Unless there was something in there that potentially indicated that his parents knew, then I don't think it's important to know what's in there. And if there was something in there that his parents knew, the FBI will take care of that. Like, the public isn't going to find anything the FBI didn't find. So, I mean, as much as it sucks and I wish that we could know what was in the notebook, I think that it's better for this just to be closed. Yeah. And, you know, it really fucking sucks that his parents don't have to pay, because I am a firm believer that they knew something.
Oh, yeah. But I agree. I think they were covering for their son. And, you know, as much as a parent you want to do that for your child, that is not the right way to handle that situation at all.
No. No, they could have had him get the help that he needed.
Yeah, turn yourself in. Like,
yeah. Mm. Yeah. There's, yeah. I don't, we won't get into it any more than that, because I'm just going to get angry. Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's incredibly heartbreaking, but I am glad that it's closed for the family's sake so they can begin to heal.
Yeah, I agree.
And they, you know, they are doing so much work in honor of Gabby. The Gabby Petito Foundation is doing amazing things, and I know that she's touched so, so many lives, and her legacy definitely will continue to live on.
Absolutely.
So, now that we've rambled for 5 minutes, let's get into the episode.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so first of all, I have had this case kind of as like a back burner case, for lack of better terminology, because I find this case fascinating, and it, like, I just remember, like, when it all went down and just all the rumors that flew around and just the tragedy of it all. But then we got a request from a listener named Dominica. I hope I'm saying that right. Who wrote
in. Was this the one that came through on the voice request on Anchor?
I didn't listen to that, but
I think it was.
Oh, they left it.
I think they left a voice message.
They also
as well.
Left a DM on our Instagram, so they really wanted us to cover this.
All right, well, here
so
you go.
I am doing the dang thing for you, and I am going to be covering the very tragic death of Brittany Murphy. So if you guys don't know, Brittany Murphy is an actress. She's been in quite a few movies, some really good ones, some, you know, dark, deep, dark ones, some like light, fun, flirty movies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she's a good actress.
Yeah.
She's a very good actress.
Yeah. And when she passed, it was pretty tragic.
Yeah. So I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this, but I don't really know a ton about her death.
Yeah.
I am not up to date on like pop culture stuff. Like, people tell me the name of an actor and I'm like, who? And then I see a picture and I'm like, oh, I've seen
them. Oh, yeah, I know them. Yeah.
So I'm like really bad at that type of stuff. So I honestly know very little about this, but I know that it's like been a big deal, and I've seen this request come in a lot through like TikTok and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited that you're covering this, because I know you're going to just go all in.
Well, during this time frame, like the Brittany Murphy, like when she was really like popular, I was heavily into the pop culture scene and like knew every little thing about every little, you know, reading all the gossip magazines and all that stuff. So
I love it.
Now, not so much. Like, I feel like I've kind of grown out of that. Like, I don't know a lot of the popular artists and like actresses these days, but it has always been an interest of mine. So I wanted to just deep dive into this case, and I mean, most of it I pretty much already knew, so there wasn't anything that was, like, really shocking that came out in my research. But if you don't know, I'm going to share with you today all of it.
All right. I'm so pumped.
Okay, so Brittany Ann Bertolotti, I believe that's how you say that, was born on November 10th, 1977 in Atlanta, Georgia. Her parents, Sharon Kathleen Murphy and Angelo Joseph Bertolotti, divorced when Brittany was only 2 years old. And I guess at some point she changed her name, her last name, to Murphy. I'm assuming probably because of Hollywood showbiz. It's just an easier name, you know?
Right.
Rolls off the tongue better, I guess.
Yeah.
And her father was obviously Italian heritage.
Right.
So Brittany was then raised by her mother in Edison, New Jersey. It was during this time that Brittany became really interested in acting and performing. And to encourage her talents, her mother, Sharon, enrolled her in the Vern Fowler School of Dance and Theater in Colonia, New Jersey, when she was 5 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, young, ready to perform, really excited, all of the things.
Yeah.
So Brittany took dance and voice lessons there until she was in her early teens. Her mother Brittany began to push her mother to help her get headshots. She wanted her to like hire a, you know, talent manager for her. And then they began to drive to Manhattan for auditions since they were down in New Jersey.
Okay.
When Brittany was 12, her mother finally relented and she began landing jobs for television commercials. She then went on to make a brief appearance on two sitcoms, which this is like a throwback, but Murphy Brown and Boy Meets World. So those were like early 90s. Well, Boy Meets World was around for a while. I think Murphy Brown was too, actually, but definitely early 90s.
Yeah. Before I was born.
Yeah. You're in the Girl Meets World. Well, no, that's probably way after you too, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like between the two.
Yeah, I grew up watching Boy Meets World. I used to love that show. Murphy Brown, not so much, but definitely Boy Meets World.
I watched like Boy Meets World, but it was like
way after it was on.
Yeah.
When it was on like Nick at Night or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So in 1991, Brittany and her mother finally moved to Los Angeles so Brittany could pursue her career in acting. Brittany got her first big break in TV that same year when she starred as Brenda Drexel on the sitcom Drexel's Class. Never seen it in my life. Have no idea.
Yep.
Never even heard of it, surprisingly. I don't know.
I haven't either.
I'm like, well, yeah, 91. I mean, that was a long time ago.
I wasn't alive, so.
And she had a reoccurring role. She was like one of the main characters.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So when she wasn't working on set, she spent her time studying at John Burroughs High School in Burbank, California.
And can I just say, Los Angeles is not all that everybody makes it out to be. I feel like everybody's like, oh, LA. I mean, if you're an actress, like, obviously this is where you want to come. But I feel like so many people are like, LA is the most amazing place. And it's like, no, it's really not.
I mean, no offense, but it's definitely not my favorite place in California.
Yeah, no. I mean, where I live outside of LA, love it.
Yeah.
But Los Angeles, Burbank, do not love it.
I think it's something that like everyone should see, especially like the Star Walk and like the Chinese Theater and, you know, things like that. But yeah, it's just like, eh.
Yeah. I can't wait until you come out here to visit so I can take you to my hometown where I grew up. It's not where I live now, but like where I grew up, because it's beautiful and it's wonderful.
Take
and
me
it's
to all not the LA. Like, hidden treasures. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So Brittany's breakthrough role would eventually come just a few years later in 1995 when she starred as Ty in the movie Clueless. Now, we all know that one.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that movie like 1,000 times probably.
Oh, yeah.
So this role basically catapulted Brittany into stardom. She went on to star in so many famous roles that we all know and love, such as Girl Interrupted, 8 Mile, Sin City, Uptown Girls, Just Married, and Little Black Book. Just to name a few. She's been in a lot more movies than that.
Oh, yeah.
However, unbeknownst to many fans, Brittany also had a music career. So this was kind of a little bit of a surprise. I think I had heard this, like,
wow,
at some
I didn't
point,
know that.
But she had, like, a pretty big music career.
Wow.
So she was in a band called Blessed Soul with a fellow actor, Eric Balfour. I have no idea who he is, sorry. In the early 1990s. And then in 2006, she dropped a track called Faster Kill Pussycat.
Okay.
And when the track dropped, a lot of people thought that this was Britney's like music debut, but in fact, she had been making like secret guest appearances as a backup singer on hip hop and R&B records for years.
Oh wow, good for her.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a surprise. I guess I should take back my comment from earlier. Britney said, quote, "My singing voice isn't like my speaking voice. I've always just kept it a secret and never taken credit because I wanted to learn how to work behind the microphone in a recording studio. And some of the singers don't even know it was me recording on their albums."
Wow. I have like so much respect for that because I feel like so many stars are like so
me
like egocentric. Yeah. And yeah, would want to be like, oh, that was me, I did that. Especially if it was like something that was successful or working with like a big artist.
Yeah,
so that's awesome, good for her.
Yeah, I know, I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah,
but oddly enough, the greatest musical performance Britney left behind was probably her role as Gloria, a penguin character in the 2006 blockbuster animated film Happy Feet.
Oh, okay.
So in the movie, Britney covered Queen's Somebody to Love and Earth, Wind, and Fire song Boogie Wonderland.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I knew she had a good voice. Like, I knew, like, I think I've heard her sing in a couple of, like, the movies she's been in.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that she played that role.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think Manny's trying to break in. I got the door locked, though. To his own bedroom. Poor guy. Okay. So as for Britney's love life, she had, of course, been linked to, you know, a few actors and talent people out there, such as Ashton Kutcher, which was her Just Married co-star, Jeff Quantinez. I have no idea. He was a talent manager. And then she was also engaged to Joe Macaluso, a production assistant she met while working on the film Little Black Book.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, ended their engagement just a year later. And she went on to marry British screenwriter Simon Monjak. The two of them got married in a private Jewish ceremony, say that five times fast, in Los Angeles. Their marriage actually came as a surprise to many because the two had only dated for 4 months and they hadn't made any public appearances together before they got married.
That like makes me think it's either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's either like they were together and they really loved each other and they were happy like not making any public appearances, or there was something else going on.
Yeah, because I mean, I know a lot of celebrities, they keep their love lives private and they don't like necessarily, you know, want the mainstream media to like know what's going on because it can ruin a lot of relationships. But we'll get into more details on their relationship, and if you want, you can just Google his name and see what he looks like, because I personally was very, very jarred. He just doesn't seem like the type that she would have gone after. I mean, I don't know her type, but he was like older. Oh. And he was like, yeah, you know, just kind of,
yeah, not the most attractive human being.
And he wasn't like a good guy either, so it's like,
okay,
you know, because like, you can have, like, the good guy thing and not be, like, super, like, movie star hot or whatever.
Yeah.
But he wasn't. So we'll get into that right now. Friends and family were a little concerned about their relationship because not much was known about Simon. And there was lots of talk about Britney's thin frame. So, of course, rumors began to fly that the actress either had an eating disorder or was using drugs. Which... she was tiny. She was like 5'2" or something. So,
right.
I feel like, you know, when you're thin and small, like, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
But people just assume things. They assume the worst.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. But, it's okay. Like, you can be thin and small without having an issue.
Yeah. Because I think when she first came on the scene, she was, you know, in Clueless, she was like a little heavier and,
yeah,
you know, a little more like normal size, I guess, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
So when she began to like lose weight, people were concerned.
I mean, I definitely think it's like good to have concern, but you also have to like respect people's privacy and boundaries and like, you know, it's a balance.
Don't make up rumors, like ask questions to the person, you
know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, she also was like popular, you know, in showbiz when like what, the late 90s, early 2000s, when everyone was expected to be, you know, blonde and a size zero and like half naked all the time, and just it was a totally different time then than it is now. Like, it's a lot more acceptable to just like be who you are. And she was reportedly, she was told by Hollywood executives that she was, quote, not fuckable. And this evidently weighed heavily on Britney and her self-esteem, which I could understand that. And like, why would you say that?
I have no words. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, why would that even be a descriptor ever? Why?
Yeah. Like, you're a professional person or group of people, and you're going to say that to a young woman?
That's so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think you're not fuckable because you're such an asshole.
Yeah, it was probably some fat ass, like, greasy old, you know.
Yeah, probably somebody that was mad that she wouldn't sleep with him.
Exactly.
But I could totally see how that would get to you and how that would, like,
get to anyone. I mean, especially in that environment.
Yeah, and especially if you're, like, if they're, like, execs and you're like trying to make your career successful, for somebody like high up to tell you that, that's so fucked.
Yeah, they're like, you're basically, they're like, you're ugly and you're not gonna get roles.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. So soon after that is when, like, you know, she started losing weight and she started like bleaching her hair blonde, because she had naturally dark hair, if you recall in the, you know, in the Clueless movie.
Right, so she was really trying to, like, make that perfect image, it seems like.
Yeah. So more pressure was added to Britney's plate when her mother fell ill with breast cancer, and she began to care for her in her Hollywood home, which randomly was formerly owned by Britney Spears.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I know. And there was, like, reports that Britney and her mother had a very close relationship. Some people even described it as, like, odd, but that's subjective, of course, you know, like, they grew up.
And they, like, moved to LA together, and, like, I don't know, if I didn't have anybody else, I feel like I would have a
cling
really close relationship.
Mom. Yeah. And, like, I guess there was a quote from her mom that said, like, they grew up together. So I guess maybe she was a young mom and, like, it was just the two of them for so many years.
I could see that.
So I don't, like, want to be like, oh, that's weird, you know. But some people did think that it was very odd. So when Sharon, you know, she came to live with Britney in her home in Hollywood, where she was also living with Simon. So the three of them were living together, and it seemed like a very toxic environment for, like, outsiders. Simon also began having health issues. He had a heart attack, which later caused him to have violent seizures. So, again, Britney was expected to become another caretaker to another person.
Of course.
And, she was just, like, struggling, you know, mentally and everything with all of that.
I mean, yeah, how would you not be struggling?
Yeah. And she was still trying to, like, you know, have her career blossom. And she started just, like, not getting as many roles. And just a lot of different stuff kind of came crashing down on her all at one time. So Simon, her husband, was said to be very controlling and manipulative, and immediately began isolating Britney from her friends and other family. He even went as far as trying to control what role she took on, which may be the reason why she wasn't getting as many roles. And he got Brittany fired from the last movie she would ever shoot in November of 2009 after he showed up to set intoxicated and acting like a fool, according to LA Weekly.
Okay, so just very controlling.
Yeah, I think he was just, like, really jealous, too, so...
Right.
You know, who knows what kind of things he was, you know, demanding on set and all that.
Yeah.
So, Brittany started having some health issues of her own. She was having, like, trouble breathing and just having, like, anxiety and just a lot of different things, you know, kind of started piling up on her as well. So, the three of them, it was just very volatile, very toxic, and just kind of, like, sickly and sad and depressing, I guess you could say.
That makes me so sad.
I know. So on December 20th, 2009, at 8 a.m., Brittany Murphy collapsed on the bathroom floor of her home. Her mother found her, called 911. Firefighters attempted to resuscitate Brittany on the scene, but a few hours later, around 10 a.m., she was pronounced dead at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, California. Brittany was only 32 years old.
Oh, that's so young.
Yeah. So the bathroom where she passed was known as her comfort zone. She spent a lot of time there. Simon later recalled how Brittany would spend hours sampling the cosmetics and perfumes that took over her counter space. She would allegedly critically study her body image. She'd sing to herself, or she would write bits of poetry in a journal and listen to music. So that was kind of like her safe haven, I feel like. She was probably trying to escape, you know, everything that was going on with her mother and her husband. And
yeah, like that was her like space of self-care and her safe space.
So naturally, Brittany's sudden death sudden and unexpected death shocked Hollywood and the nation. Like, I remember just being like, what? Like, what happened? And I, you know, thought the worst, of course, like I think a lot of people did.
Right.
And that prompted speculation about her personal life and conspiracy theories about the cause of her death. Luckily, an autopsy was performed the next day after she passed, and according to the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office, the manner of death was accidental, and the cause of death was linked to pneumonia with secondary factors of severe iron deficiency anemia and multiple drug intoxications.
Oh, wow.
So the coroner found a range of over-the-counter and prescription medication in Brittany's system, with the most likely reason being to treat a cold or respiratory infection.
Okay.
These included elevated levels of hydrocodone, acetaminophen, L-methamphetamine, and chlorpheniramine.
Okay.
All of which are legal, so...
Okay. So, like, cold medicine, basically.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, hydrocodone is a pain medicine, acetaminophen, you know, you take that for fevers and pain. So she obviously was sick and was taking all this medication, and with, you know, the pneumonia and the anemia, it just wasn't a good combination.
Okay.
So as I mentioned before, you know, rumors were flying after the news of Brittany's death surfaced, and people speculated like drug use or an overdose. They suspected, you know, eating disorders contributing to her death, which, I mean, you know, that unfortunately just comes with the territory of being in Hollywood, especially when you already have rumors like that circulating about you.
Yeah.
Another theory surfaced around that time as well. And according to the Hollywood Reporter, both Brittany and Simon believed that they were being watched by the U.S. government.
Okay.
So Brittany reportedly served as a witness for Julia Davis, who was a Homeland Security employee who revealed problems within the organization.
Oh.
There were also reports that the couple believed that there was black mold in their home, and that what was okay. contributing to all of their ailments, which, I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And this leads me to, like, the oddest and maybe most bizarre fact about this case. But on May 23rd, 2010, so roughly 5-6-ish months later, Sharon, Brittany's mother, found Simon, her son-in-law, unresponsive in their home, where they both continued to live after Brittany's death.
Oh.
Simon, who was 40 at the time, was pronounced dead after the LA Fire Department was called to the residence for a medical emergency, according to People magazine.
What?
It gets weirder. And just like Brittany, a coroner later determined acute pneumonia and severe anemia was the cause of Simon's death.
Okay, that definitely makes me think that there was something in the home.
Yeah, but the mold theory was later dismissed by the coroner's office after they did investigate the home for mold.
Okay.
So no mold was found.
Could they have been poisoned?
We'll get to that too.
Okay.
So according to Simon's mother, Linda Monjack, she told the Daily Mail in 2013 that her son had found quote unquote severe mold in their home prior to his death, saying quote, "All I know is that before Simon's death, he was having hallucinations that things were crawling out of his skin."
Oh, no.
Brittany's mother, on the other hand, thought this theory was absurd and that there was no validity to it.
I mean, okay. Did Brittany's mother poison them?
I don't know. But, okay. but people do think that. And okay. Don't sue us. We are not saying one way or another what we think.
No.
So I'm going to backtrack a little here to discuss some of the behavior of Simon and Sharon after Brittany's death. So Simon being her husband, Sharon being her mother.
Okay.
And how many people found it to be rather odd. For starters, as I mentioned, the two continued to live in the home together after Brittany passed. Which, like, I don't know. Maybe that's not, like, super weird because it's, like, a huge mansion. And, like, you know, they could totally never see each other.
Yeah, I don't find that the weirdest, especially because it was just a couple months. Like, maybe eventually they'd move out, but, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
But they also did a photo shoot after Brittany's death, which featured them holding hands and staring into each other's eyes.
No.
And you can Google that, too, and it's very strange unusual.
No.
They looked more like grieving parents rather than a husband and his mother-in-law.
No. Oh, yeah. My God. That's creepy.
It's very bizarre. And I know everyone mourns differently and, like, there's no right or wrong way to mourn. But that, to me, is not the impression or the image that you want to leave in people's minds after your daughter and wife basically mysteriously passes away. I mean, doctors even said that, like, if she would have came to the hospital and, like, got treatment just, like, a day or two before, she probably would have survived.
Yeah, that's really, like, the photos, I'm assuming you'll post them on Instagram. So
yes, I will.
Our listeners can go look at them. But they're, like, it literally looks like they're in a relationship.
They're embracing one another.
They are. And, like, some of the photos, I'm like, okay, this could be, like, a sad, like, mother-in-law. Yeah, like, well, I don't understand why you would do a photo shoot in the first place, but... like you said, everyone grieves differently and they're in the public eye, so, like, that's a whole different world. But it just, like, there's one of her, like, leaning back on him and it looks like he's her husband,
like they're romantic.
Yeah, like, it's just really weird. Really fucking weird.
Yeah.
No, you don't do that. No. That's weird.
No.
I don't have any other words, just no.
I know, it's just weird. It is. It's odd, it's weird, and no. Yeah. So according to Bustle.com, the pair gave a very strange interview to Larry King in 2010, where they both appeared very unprepared, Sharon conveyed that Brittany told her, quote, "Mom, I'm dying. I love you," at some point before her death.
Okay.
When Larry King pressed for more details, Sharon said, quote, "This was about an hour before." But then Simon cut her off and said, "No, no, no, baby. This was, you've forgotten the time," to Sharon.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. It's just very strange behavior.
Everyone grieves differently. You don't know how you would react in that type of situation. But, like, it seems like they got very close.
I'm not calling my in-law baby, ever.
Yeah.
Or my own mother, or anybody, really, besides my baby. Yeah. I don't even call Matt baby, because it's just weird.
I sometimes call Robert baby, but I feel like that's what we do it when we're like baby. Oh, are you okay, baby? Yeah, not like, no, baby, that's not what it is. Like, maybe we did that when we were, like, 17.
Like, in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Or, like, babe, like... Babe. Can you grab me this or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
No.
Just no.
Just so many no's. So later, Simon bizarrely told Larry King that he actually didn't want to do an autopsy on Brittany's body because, quote, "This pristine body, curvy in all the right places, was skin like silk. How could I say, cut it up in front of her mother?" Isn't that disgusting?
Ew.
That is disgusting. This woman is deceased. This is your wife. Like, she's more than just a pristine body. And she's deceased. Yeah. Like, have some respect for the dead. Like, good grief.
No.
And lastly, I saved the best little tidbit of this weird whatever the hell was going on between the two of them.
Okay.
Allegedly, Simon and Sharon also shared a bed after Brittany's death. The same bed that Brittany and Simon shared when she was alive.
I'm done. There's definitely something weird going on between them. Yeah. No, you don't share a bed.
No, you don't share a bed.
Okay, you don't share a bed with your mother-in-law. You don't share a bed with your mother-in-law after your wife died. You don't share a bed with your mother-in-law after your wife died. That's the same bed you and your wife slept in.
Yeah.
That's like,
that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for me. Like, some of the other stuff, okay, I can be like, it's weird. It's not my cup of tea, but maybe that's normal for them. But sleeping together in the same bed?
No. I mean, if you're both like really sad and you need comfort and maybe one night you like fall asleep and you're comforting each other, but like.
And then you just keep doing it.
No. That's really fucking weird. I'm sorry.
I know. It is very weird.
Maybe, you know, maybe that's what people do, but everything together.
How did someone know that? Like, how did that information get out? Were they sharing that with people? Did someone walk in? Was there
somebody like paparazzi or something found their way?
I don't know, but no.
Okay. And they never like came out and like denied this?
No. They did deny that there was any like romantic involvement because there was like rumors about that. Right. But as far as the rest of this stuff, like, no, they never denied that it happened.
Well, they put those photos out to the public. They chose to do that photo shoot and put the photos out. So
that they did.
All right.
Yeah. So in January of 2012, so that's a couple years after Brittany passed, Angelo Bertolotti, which is Brittany's father, applied to the Superior Court of California requesting that the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office hand over samples of his daughter's hair for independent testing.
Oh, interesting.
So he had suspicions. Okay. Yeah, he had some suspicions. Unfortunately, the suit was dismissed 7 months later.
Why?
Because Bertolotti failed to attend two separate hearings in the matter.
Idiot.
Yeah. But then in November of 2013, he came forward with a toxicology report that allegedly showed that deliberate poisoning by heavy metals, and in one report that I read stated specifically rat poison, was likely the cause of his daughter's death. I could not find any factual, you know, proof that that toxicology report was, you know, real and
yeah,
whatever. So
that makes me think that he was just trying to get back at Brittany's mom, just yeah. for the fact that, like, he did try to, like, properly get her hair, but then, like, didn't show up.
Had the opportunity later, and dropped the ball. Yeah.
And then later he was just like, look, I have this toxicology report. Like,
yeah.
I definitely think that that could be the truth, but I don't trust that toxicology report from him.
Yeah.
To be actually saying that or to be a legit toxicology report. Like, how would he have tested anything if he...
Exactly. How would he have gotten a sample of her hair or whatever was needed to do that toxicology yeah. report?
Unless somebody from the police department gave it to him without, like...
proper protocol.
Yeah. Like, there's no way he could have just gotten that.
Yeah. Well, Sharon came forward, which is the mother, and she described that the claim was a smear campaign against her. So basically what you're saying is what she believed, too. But a lot of people believe that she had something to do with all of this, but nothing has ever been proven.
I'm definitely so, in that boat that she had something to do with it.
Too big of a coincidence.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think that just from that toxicology report from Brittany's dad, it just sucks that he didn't do it properly.
Yeah. I know. So just to end on a kind of spooky, creepy note, I guess we could say. So as I mentioned, Britney Spears lived in the home prior to Brittany Murphy buying the home. And she allegedly came forward and said that there was, I guess, demonic spirits living in the home. And that she had experienced a lot of, like, odd things while she lived there.
Okay.
And Simon even said that... like, basically, the whole time he lived there with Brittany Murphy, she hated living there. She would beg him daily to go rent a room at the, what was it? The, what's the big fancy in, like, Bel Air or something? The,
I don't know. I'm bad at
I'm wanting to say Hollywood, Hollywood Hotel, but that's not it, because that's not.
Not the Cecil, right?
No.
Okay. Like a fancy
I'm trying to look it up really quick and see if I can find it, because I had it pulled up, and then the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Ah, yes, the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yeah, I've been there. So she, like, hated living in this house. They had actually planned to move, like, shortly after, like, her death or whatever. Or they had planned to move, you know, in that time frame, and then she unfortunately passed. But she hated being home, and when she was home, like, she spent all of her time in the bathroom. And then, like I said, Britney Spears had, like, a lot of interesting experiences in the home as well. So it's believed that there's some stuff going on in there, yeah.
I definitely think that her death was not just from her cold.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I could see her mom being involved. Again, all alleged, and I'm not, like, accusing anyone of anything. Yeah. But just the fact that Brittany and Simon died from very similar circumstances, and her mom, who was living in the same house, was completely fine.
Yeah. Like, aside from, like, her... cancer and stuff like that, but, like,
yeah, but, like, didn't have any of those similar, you know,
ailments,
symptoms. Ailments. I don't know, like, what if her mom, and this is totally just, like, me spinning, but what if her mom and Simon were in some sort of weird relationship and Brittany didn't like it, so her mom started poisoning her to get rid of her, and then Simon later felt guilty about it, and the mom got mad and, like, started poisoning him or something.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's definitely a huge coincidence that they both, you know, died of the same circumstances. I mean, when does that happen? And it's like, Brittany, you know, she was very frail, she was very small. And he's like this big, huge guy. Like he's like, you know, 6 foot or whatever, like probably what, 250?
Right.
Maybe even more.
Yeah.
And for him to like die, I mean, obviously anyone can pass away from pneumonia, but like anemia, like that just strikes me as so odd.
Yeah. No, that's really weird. I wonder if there's a specific poison that can like make anemia a bigger issue.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. And I guess we'll never know.
That was a crazy story.
Yeah. But yeah, I will definitely post the weird, you know, Simon and Sharon.
Yeah. Those are so
whatever
weird.
Pictures. And of course, pictures of the beautiful Brittany Murphy with her big old brown eyes. She was so pretty.
Yeah.
And it's just such a sad story. And this is not the typical case that I like to cover. Just because, you know, it's closed and it's Hollywood and we've all heard it and, you know, whatever. But it's such an interesting case with so many different like little twists and turns. And then of course, when we have someone recommend a case to us, like most of the time we have to at least try to cover it. So, but yeah, I'll post updates or not updates. I'll post pictures and some information on our Instagram and our Facebook. Our Facebook is actually just Inhuman Podcast.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I like looked at it the other day and I was like, that's not right.
Well, people are still finding us.
Yes, they are. And thank you for following us on Facebook, because I feel like Facebook is so obsolete now.
Yeah. No, I love it though, because like we have conversations with people about cases on there.
Yeah. So definitely go follow us on Facebook at Inhuman Podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Inhuman_podcast. And I'll be, you know, posting all the things for Brittany Murphy. But yeah, aside from that,
I just looked it up and there's the HBO Max documentary about Brittany Murphy, which is probably why people are requesting it, because I think it recently came out.
So I heard that pulls in One Direction really hardcore. So just
okay, be aware.
Go in it. Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to watch it for that reason.
Yeah.
Cause I was trying to find a documentary that was about her.
It seems like it's more of like a story instead of just like documentary facts.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But
I'm sure it would be interesting.
Yeah, it stars Lily Reinhart and I love her. So I'm definitely going to watch it just to see. You should watch it now too. Like now that you've done all the research, you should watch it. I mean, that's the thing about like documentaries about any case. And we've said this time and time again, but like, you can watch a documentary and it can pull so hard in one direction.
Yeah.
And then you, after you're done watching it, you can be like, oh yeah, definitely. And then you like research facts and you're like, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think we're in the mindset now though, where we're like, even a documentary, like we watch it very, objectively. Is that the right word?
Objectively. Yeah, that's the right word.
I was like, subjectively? Objectively. No, objectively. It's objectively.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we know.
But yeah, I think I'm going to go watch that documentary and I'll be aware that it sways one way. But I'm like interested now. This was such a good deep dive. Like you did such a good job covering it. This was such a good story. I mean, as heartbreaking as it is, I was like, this is such a good story.
Yeah, it is. It's such an interesting story. And I'm sure I left out details that people are going to be like, did you know this? Did you know that? Just because it's one of those cases where people get really invested into. But I did try to stay as factual as I possibly could, because there are tons of rumors and I could have really like deep dove down the rumor rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But I wanted to keep it factual.
Yeah. And especially with something like this, that there's so much speculation and so much unknown, it's so easy to like fall into those holes. And some, you know, one of them might be true, but you also have to like think about it from both sides.
That's what's kind of like, it's kind of a catch-22, I guess, with these kind of cases, because there's so much information. So you actually like get to really do good research and find out a lot of information, but then you kind of have to like weed through what's real and factual and what's like speculatory, because there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Definitely. So. But you did a really good job. This is a really Thanks. Good episode. Good job.
Thanks.
I mean, you always do good, but you know what I mean. This was very interesting.
Like, it was obviously, like, a heavy case because someone lost their life, but it wasn't, like, a murder or a missing person, because I feel like those can be super heavy and, like, weigh on you.
Yeah.
And there's, like, I guess, kind of closure to, you know, unfortunately, like, her case and stuff. So, it's a little different. It's not, nobody was inhuman.
Very true.
Necessarily.
Yeah. Well, that's a good, we're doing well this week then, because my case for Thursday is also, has a happy ending. So.
Oh, good.
Look at us. A lighter week for you guys.
Yeah. So, I guess. On that note, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that you thoroughly enjoyed the information that I fed to you today, and until Thursday, keep it human.
Bye.